by the new and living way.
Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise Jesus.
Happy Sunday to everybody. Thank God for another opportunity to gather like this. It's a privilege. We are not part of the people that forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Head of the church, we thank you. We thank you. We are grateful. 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 Oh, we are grateful, Jesus. It's from you we've come to draw, even this morning. It's from you we've come to draw. It's from you. Father, give us pieces of Jesus. Give us pieces of Jesus. Give us pieces of your complete work. Let pieces be added to us. Let pieces be added to us. Bread, give us bread. We ask for bread. Give us water. Give us drink. Give us wine. Give us blood. Give us flesh. Give us blood. Let's ingest today, O God. Let us be added to today. Add to us, our Father. Add to our raising. Add to the building that you are erecting in us. You're erecting that is us. Add to us, Lord. Add to us. We've come to draw from you. Give us eyes. Give us an appetite. Give us a heart, O God, to receive that which you are pouring out. Even this season, particularly this morning, I align under the grace over this commission. The grace over this commission. As resident in our daddy, Reverend Kadi Igoke, that we connect through our daddy, Pastor Mikael Guchuku, I align under that grace. I say, let this grace speak to us. Amen. The grace that is responsible for our raising, let it speak to us. Amen. Let us be helped. Amen. Let everyone be helped. Amen. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Help. Sent here to help you. I'm angel sent here to help you. I'm sent here to help you. I'm sent here to help you. I'm sent to minister with you. I'm sent to minister with you. I'm sent to minister with you. For there are things that the Spirit of God had stirred even in your spirit, even pictures and impressions of the Spirit that is put even in your spirit, even in your spirit as you waited even upon this morning's ministration. I say, be bold to say it. Be bold to speak. Be bold to say them. Be bold to say them. I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here to strengthen you. I'm here even to project even pictures, even pictures, even pictures, even pictures, even pictures that resonates even with the things of the Spirit that it put even in your spirit and in your heart. That it put even in your spirit and in your heart. Say it. Say them. Say them, say them. They are my words. They are my words, say the Spirit of God. They are my words. I'm the one that breathed them. I'm the one that put them. I'm the one that painted them. I'm the one even that put even those scriptures that are going here and there, even in your heart and those in your spirit. Say them boldly. Say them boldly. Say them boldly. Say them boldly. I'm here to help you. Say it, the ministering spirit. Jesus is to make you see. For Jesus' desire, even his intention for you as a local assembly, is that you would see even into the realm of things everlasting. Is that you would see even into things that are everlasting. Is that you would discern things that are everlasting. For the intention, even the desire, even the act of the Lord Jesus, is that as new and living way, you would see even into things everlasting. You would discern even into things everlasting. You would peruse and find entrance even into gates everlasting, even into doors everlasting. Even now, even now, even now, even now. Yay, don't say next month. Yay, don't say just this year. For he is granting entrance now. He is speaking entrance now. He is catching people. He is catching people. He is catching souls. Even into the realm of things everlasting. He wants you to enter it as a local assembly now. He wants you to enter it today. As at today, he wants to bring many in. He wants you to be open. To be open. To be open. To believe that he wants you in now. He wants you to come in now. He wants you. Yes, you are praying. Yes, you are fasting, but he's begun to grant entrances already. Even now, even Jesus is meant to make you see. He's bringing sight. He's bringing many ministration of eyes, ministration of eyes, ministration of everlasting sight being given, everlasting wisdom being poured forth, even everlasting sense being administered. Even now, take it, say at the Spirit of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. We receive this wisdom, receive this entrance in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. I said Matthew chapter 16, but let's go to Jeremiah 29:11 and start from there. Push the thoughts and see how the Lord will have us land. Jeremiah, popular scripture. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Just that one verse. So a thought dropped in my heart, I think yesterday, about this issue of end. And I wasn't going to touch it, so I said, but let me just follow the line of my faith, follow the prophecy and see where it leads us. Being finite, when I say finite, human beings, we are finite in our reasoning, finite in our conclusions, finite in our expression, finite in our existence. In fact, finite. What I mean by finite? We have a beginning, we have an end. And we cannot think outside that arrangement. human beings can't think outside of that arrangement. So even our conclusion, our definition of what end is an end. But I began to see just from this, when the Lord said he has an expectation. You know, there are many ends you see in scripture. There's the end of faith, saving of our soul. There's the end of commandments. The end of age. But when the Lord said he wanted to give us an expected end, he was not speaking from the realm of finite. He was not speaking from the realm of creation. In the understanding of the eternal God, which I know next to nothing about, the expected end is actually not an end as the way a human being thinks of an end. Because with them, there's nothing like end. So I'm saying this to say that when the Lord said he's thinking thoughts towards us to bring us to an expected end, that end is actually an existence beyond the realm of finite. Let's say amen. I will break it down. If, as human beings, you know, if you did project management, you know, project orientation, you have a beginning of a project and you have the end of it. You know, when you have ended a project, usually something exists at the end of the project. It's not a complete eradication. When the Lord began to think thoughts towards us to bring us to an end, the end he actually had in himself was the way it came to me. Just the way it came to me is that actually my plan was for man, the way man is, because at this time man had really fallen, man in his present existence should end. He should come to a cessation of the kind of existence to come into another one. Now that began to make me think, okay, so of course we know that if you read other translations of this scripture, it says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of good, not of evil, to bring you a future and a hope. I like that future and a hope. Yes, another one. Okay, it was amplified. Plans of peace and a well-being, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So the Father here called an end was actually a hope. There was something that he was expecting them to break into by reason of trapping his thoughts. Let's say amen. Amen. Now, he said he knows those thoughts, and it will be our conclusion as human beings. We've used it time and again. We think, when time we read that scripture, we always thought that we knew the thoughts. I mean, you prayed about your exam and you said, Lord, you said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. The thoughts of peace, not of evil, to bring me an expected end. Lord, as I read for my exam. Yes, and you would answer, because there's a provision for the Lord to answer such kinds of utterances. But in his thinking, there is a thinking or a processing of thoughts that are with him and with him alone. I said, I know. He didn't say, you know. We all think we know. And on that premise is where we tend to err. Because you will always put your own thought as the thought of God. Especially about what you, especially in reference to what you feel or what you think is valuable. Your thoughts are a product of your value system, or vice versa. So when the Lord said, I expected, and there was something that was on his mind, that is still on his mind and has never changed, that he was trying to communicate to the saints then, said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. There are things I am thinking towards you. May we come into those thoughts. Because to come into those thoughts is to come into another class of existence. He said, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are my ways and your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. Let the wicked man forsake his ways, and the righteous man his thoughts. So we've been taught time and again that what keeps you in your present state of existence is actually your way of thinking. Thought processes classify beings. When they wanted to reduce Nebuchadnezzar to a different class of being, they took away his thought process, or they swapped it. And another thought process came upon him that could help him, I think it was Pastor Leke that said it, that could help him survive on grass. Don't joke with thoughts. You are framed by your thoughts. You are a product of your most predominant thoughts. That's why God himself said,
Let God transform you. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. By the renewing of your mind. One translation said, let God transform you by changing the way you think. I'm going somewhere with this. Because everlasting life is first and foremost a thought. There are some things that you don't even know that you should think. That you should be thinking. That as long as you remain carnal, or you remain oblivious of that future and a hope, you will never think it. And as you don't think it, you will never be it. Jesus in the days of his flesh was schooled by the Spirit, the Father through the Spirit, of course, to think certain thoughts. And to never think certain thoughts. One of the reasons why I believe that the Lord is having us wait and fast and pray in this month, which we have never been done before as a local assembly, is that there are thoughts hanging over us that need to be pulled down. By those thoughts, you will demonstrate that you are getting some sense that is higher than us. You know, some of us, we are already wiser than some evil spirits. You don't know. You are. Oh, you are. By reason of the kinds of thoughts you are taking, you are already wiser than some evil spirits. And some of them come to try you once in a while. One came to try me, not too far ago. Came to try me. Let me give you the testimony. Let me be like my mommy. So I came to church that day. I think I didn't comb the back of my hair. And I was downstairs. And one of us came with my family, everybody. And everybody went. I was alone in the car. I was down in the car. And as I was coming up, somebody said, Pastor, your hair is not combed. And then that demon came. It's a demon. I don't need the word of prophecy to know that it was a demon. He said, you see, your wife does not appreciate you. Wait, oh, she left, you left the house. I told her, so it's no. She said, you left the house. She didn't even look at you. Now, me, I have understanding of something. Not understanding of something. I said, mommy, I know that one of the most appreciative people me I know is my wife. So this was, now this took place in maybe 10 seconds. No words, but it was thoughts. So it was thought versus thought. And me, I got angry. I said, in my thoughts, I said, what do you know about appreciation? I said, if I had, this is my thinking, if I had, I don't know whether it's true, but I was making mouth. I said, if I had your privilege of being so close to he whose name cannot be mentioned, Elohim. You are so close and you didn't appreciate where you are. I could literally feel. You know, there are some battles you fight. When you finish, you know, say, I don't win this one. I said, this one, I don't. I may fail many, but this one. I said, with this one, I said, I know. I said, I could feel the presence leave the car. This is the second time I've had such a tangible experience. I've had one like that not many years ago, but quite a few years ago. Shortly after I got married, I was driving around. I was between Onikman and Fadehi. For those who don't know, it's a bus stop, two bus stops in Lagos. I was driving, and the spirit entered the car. I said, look at that girl. What's her? Look, you don't. Look, one thing I'm learning, I think one of the bodies I came to church with this, when mommy said, was I want us to begin to understand what it means to be spiritual. Because sometimes, you know, Satan has accused you of spirituality and called you carnal. And you said, no, I'm carnal. Because your judgment, your first understanding of what it means to be spirit is the devil that taught you. Check all of us. All of us, maybe not mommy, but most of us, our first foray into things spirit was not by Bible. Was by movies, by superstition. That's where you first heard of spirit. And you carried that and looked for scriptures that would justify that errant thinking. And then you're holding it as a doctrine. Bible says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Men who heap up commandments. We are living by... Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me finish my testimony. So I said, look at that girl. He said, well endowed. Why are you saying, ah? It happens to all of us. Unless you are pretending. And you, this is where you make a mistake. It's not you thinking. But sometimes what we do is that we take it. And we play with it. And we romance it. And we birth it as an action. So this demon said that. Enter the car at Onipa. Yes. We are behind enemy lines. So they have the right to come. And we have every right under Jesus to resist them. And they will flee. I'm just giving this testimony to show that you, most of us here, already have wisdom higher than certain spirits. But it's not the end. So let me finish the testimony, because somebody say, how did it end? Pastor, how did it end? Let me tell you how it ended. So as we were driving, he said, look, well endowed. I said, she's not finer than my wife. He now made a mistake. Say, by say mistake. He said, but you say the truth. I said, truth? Truth? Wait. You have entered. What do you know about truth? You have been locked off from the lie is your father. Before I reached father, he left. Thoughts. This was not utterance. I wasn't talking to anybody. If you see me, you have seen me. I didn't hit anybody, so I wasn't shouting. I wasn't distracted. I was driving. But I'm saying transactions. Now, those are warfare transactions. Now, imagine the kinds of transactions that you're supposed to be transacting with around the waters of everlasting life. Just imagine the things you think you should be thinking. You don't even know what they are yet. I don't know what they are. But I am excited in my spirit to break into that kind of thinking. There is a thinking that took Nebuchadnezzar to the realm of animals. There was a thinking that brought him out. There's a thinking that will end the reign of man in you. When I say reign of man, Satan has concluded man. Has concluded man. Human, human beings, he has no respect for. He started respecting man as a threat when Jesus came. What? It's possible for somebody amidst this dark and dreary world that I've created to trap foreign thoughts to such an extent that I can't hold him. Man should be feared. Man should be taken seriously. And that is the reason for the onslaughts against us. Breaking into the realms of everlasting life, you are going to court thoughts. Somebody say thoughts. Have you ever... Don't understand or undermine the power of thoughts. Thoughts in and of themselves can make you, your physical body, sick. If somebody tells you a lie that you believe, it can give you BP. Even if there's a lie. So I'm saying that that's a minute explanation of how powerful thoughts are. And the Lord himself did not leave thoughts to chance. Jesus, in his earthly walk, gave us parameters of the kind of things we should think about and the kind of things we should not court. Because what made a Gentile is actually his thoughts. So you know. There are thoughts that if you think this, even if you are blowing tongues from now to tomorrow, you are a Gentile in the spirit. And because, you know, it's the issue. You know where you need, where you actually, hey, Satan is not good. Somebody needs to hear that. He's not good. Where you need recognition more than anything is the realm of the spirit. Not before human beings. Not before human beings. And they know it. They know. When you are living Gentilic thinking in your mind, the first people to know are those that are responsible to us, the Spirit of God who led you, because you will not escape except by leading. Let's say amen. But the next set of creatures to know are those who are responsible for your Gentilic mindset. They know. When you are beginning to break out of the cage of Gentile thinking, all the thoughts are like cages, they're like camps. You are encamped according to your thoughts. So there's a thought called them that fear him. And the angel of the Lord encampeth around them, because it's a camp. All of you that fear the Lord, you're in a particular thought process. In the spirit, you appear in one place. So they won't send many angels. So how can one angel encamp around? That means the angel must be doing like this. Just me thinking, Abby. Just use your mind. Just let me, I'm like my pastor, we have cartoon mind. So the pastor, the angel of the Lord, not the angels. He said the angel of the Lord encampeth. How can one angel encamp? Maybe he lay down and made his body a circle around them. I'm just thinking. So they all came to a particular place in the spirit by thinking. There's a thought process called fear of the Lord, which the Bible calls wisdom. High wisdom that we have begun to already exhibit in our trickles. But from a trickle to a roar, it must begin to flow. As in, we are about to fulfill that scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, where the Bible says, by the church, we shall make known the manifold wisdom of God. You see, in our existence here, we are supposed to confound evil spirits. They're supposed to look at you and be confused. Because they have set a parameter. They have planned your life. They planned it. They probably planned it before you were born. They have curriculum of where you live, the kinds of atrocities you will commit, or even the kind of atrocities you will not commit, just to make sure that the inheritance in them, their inheritance in you is preserved. And they have it planned out. It's there. And they are following its script. They are very deliberate about you. They are not joking. You are joking with yourself. They are not joking with you. Because of Jesus, they've seen that if you let one of them trap these thoughts the way they should trap it, there will be an escape. But we'll trap them all. Amen. Hey, we'll trap them. Do you know why? Because the Lord He has already begun to show it to us in trickles. Now, some of us may say, but I don't understand. Our mommy has to explain to us, you see that. That not understanding is a nature. Thank God for last week's message. Lack of understanding is a nature. That's one of the reasons why we are fasting, we are praying. We have to pray all those things that are against our breaking into thoughts. There is an end in the mind of God, which is the end that He wants to bring all of us to. That if we don't think it, we won't get to it. But the Lord will help us think it. So if you say you don't understand, I know it has to be managed. That's why we have pastors. Because I've heard some people, they don't understand, and their lack of understanding has driven them into spiritual depression. Yes, they are so depressed that they are not moving. Because they don't understand. And they are so upset that they don't understand. It's good to be upset. But also know that it is given to you to know. And you don't allow your present lack of understanding conclude your entire existence as he who will never understand. No, that is Satan talking. Because he knows that if you understand, you are escaping. You know, understanding is escape. The Bible calls understanding a wellspring of life. That means every time you understand, something springs out. Now, if it's a wellspring of life, it is springing out against death. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say thoughts. Thoughts. Say it again, thoughts. Thoughts. You know, there are thoughts you are going to think that you are going to wow yourself. As you think yourself out of your existence, present existence. You know, some of the things that are actually plaguing us now are just because the Lord so told me that once. He said one of the things about issues, that issues are only as strong as the hold they can have on your heart. An issue, say issue, when you say issue, issues are only as strong as the hold they can have on your heart. Said in the wilderness, and I've heard it from Pastor Maker, and I repeat it, say in the wilderness, your life is planned. If you have entered, you know, wilderness is Christ. And we understand that you have crossed the Red Sea, you are in the wilderness, you are laying Christ. Your life is planned. You are under a heavy surveillance of the Spirit. Nothing can just happen to you anyhow. I'm quoting Pastor. When that is not a realization, you can have some threatenings. Because we believe that in the wilderness, which is a wrong conception, and that's why we are okay now with the word tribulation. Let's say amen. Amen. It's part and parcel of the program. But tribulation is not the end of our story, right? By thinking, we know that the end of our story is that the Lord is pitiful and that we are supposed to come into what he called rest. So as long as we are on that path, which is what troubles try to make us escape from, as long as we are on that path, there is every likelihood by the mercy of God that you will end up in the promise. In fact, that is the intention of the Father. That is the thought that he said he has towards you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Now, thank you, Lord. Build from there. Matthew 16. See what thoughts. You know, our foundation as the church is thoughts. We started from a thought. Even your foundation of everything started from thoughts. God thought something. If he did not think you, you will not be. If he thinks you away, you are gone forever. Somebody once said that. He said, why does God not just say, Satan, be not? He said, if he says that, all the memory of Satan and Satan himself will disappear. Nobody will ever remember that such a thing has been existed. He said, but Satan knows that God will never do that because there is an arrangement because of the kind of person he is, which I will not go into. But let's read Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13. He says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then he says, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Somebody say thoughts. Say it again, say thoughts. Now Simon Peter tapped into a thought. Do you know this thought was, this arrangement was so precious that after he was able to break into this kind of thinking, he had two experiences. He had, first of all, a visitation of the devil. Then he also had a revelation that a word of knowledge came concerning him. Thoughts make you precious. You know, Satan really likes fornicators like that, or people that spend their time in works of the flesh. No. He begins to desire you when you begin to get to some levels of understanding. You become desirable. You know, there's a way we don't yet see acquisitions of the spirit as tangibilities. Patience, for example, is an ornament. Maybe it's a gold necklace, for example. It shows in the realm of the spirit. Now, when a thief sees a gold necklace, he doesn't see any neck. What is the business with the neck? He will do anything. He can cut off the neck. If he sees maybe faithfulness is a wristwatch. Gold plated with diamond studded wristwatch. Maybe. I'm saying what makes you desirable even to evil spirits are the acquisitions of life. They know what ugly is. Because they themselves are ugly. So when you look like them, this one is useless. This one is not my thing. As daddy has taught us, so you say fornication is a fornication or whatever vice there is. They are evil spirits that are responsible for that manifestation. And daddy said they look exactly like that. They look exactly like that. So maybe let's say anger, for example. There's a evil spirit that his face is always frown, always. You see him when he greets him, good morning. His face always like, he cannot come out of it. And he looks for places of expression. So he sometimes expresses it through me. Anger. You know, most of us know. If you ever have come under the influence of anger, after you've been angry, you feel foolish after. Am I lying? You just feel as if. Then pride will not kick in. Don't say anything. No, you stood your right. But you know what? You are feeling. Because it wasn't you. Now, some people hear this and say, everything that's wrong about me is shuloshe, is shuloshe, is shuloshe. Yes, but there was a degree of cooperation. Papa Egan said, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Say, but you can very well stop it from making nest in your hair. But what everlasting life wants to do for us, it wants to make sure that no bird flies over our head. Those birds are under our feet. We are standing above where they are. You know, some of the vices you have is because of where you are thinking. You are thinking in their realm. You need to come up in your thinking. Say, come up. And how do you come up? By revelation. You come up by revelation. So when they tell you, listen to message, they tell you to think thoughts. Pastor was talking about influences of the spirit that come upon you, and for your when you're just thinking Bible, God knows what He's doing. He's recalibrating your thinking. You will think Matthew, think Matthew, think maybe think even just say think John 3:16, think. Satan is not good because somebody just said, I don't want to wrestle with Scripture. I'm not saying you should wrestle with Scripture. I said think. I didn't say wrestle with Scripture. I said think. Just think. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him should not perish. Perish. What does it mean to perish? Gerah. Spoil. So I won't spoil. Really, I won't spoil. So it's a potential. But things spoil. But the scripture says, so scripture cannot be. You are thinking. I tell you, we spend enough time doing that, you begin to go up. You will not know when masturbation will drop. Some of us think that that's the worst thing we are doing. I've been there. I said, Lord, take this thing away. It's an embarrassment to you. To me, to everybody, take this thing away. God bless me. I hated it till it left. I didn't, because Satan can make you say, well, it's, I will outgrow it. You're enjoying it. That one, you want that one? That one is what Pastor Sespo was saying. Say, no, it will go by and by. Those things have everlasting strength. Some of them, they are at last human beings. So it's waiting for you to die so you can jump on your child. Those things are everlasting somewhere. So don't excuse it. But I'm saying that you can escape it by thinking. Because it belongs to a realm that it cannot ascend beyond. If you leave that realm, it has no influence. So, back to my testimony. I'm talking about myself now. I told God for 2 decades plus that this thing must go. It must die. I did everything I know how to do except climb mountain. What am I saying? I climbed mountain. I went up a mountain on this matter. Because as far as I was concerned, that is the most evil thing, you know? And that is where we need to understand what it means to be spiritual. You know, God does not judge you. God does not, what's the word, not judge, does not identify you by your faults. He identifies you by what he has done in you. Hey. If somebody can catch this, well, you'll be free from condemnation to race into life. God doesn't assess you by your faults. I will explain. Am I saying he doesn't see what you do wrong? That is not true. Iniquity is bare before him. I'll give me a testimony. What's my testimony, Pastor Lee? Yes, about escaping. So at the end, towards the end of the day of great deliverance, which I don't even know when it happened, I must say that. But by the time I was going, I had to agree to with the Lord. The Lord actually told me once, that's not the worst thing you are doing. I said, how bad now? How bad? My mama saw, but I don't say this. Like, this thing is because we are all being wired to repent of things that are embarrassment to us. Whereas, do you know there are many, many strengths we have that we're supposed to repent of that you don't see? So God cannot be judging you by your weaknesses, because he knows what you call weakness and what you call strength. All of them will just soon go. When my standard is raised, I'm coming. I will explain what I mean. So he waited for me. He said, just keep going. So I joined for 3 years. I've been listening, just for anything, just disturbing me. You know, if you have ever been under that vice, it's a terrible thing. You will wake up, you condemned. You feel bad. You feel evil. Sometimes I will go to bath and bath twice just to see if I wash this thing off, wash my head 3 times, you know, just to get this evil feeling of. Before I left, I was one that told God, I said, oh, listen, Lord, you are right. This is not the worst thing I'm doing. I saw more beastly things I had to address. By the time the thing fizzled out, because my thinking had been raised just a bit, I did not know where it was. I said, it's been a year, okay? Ha! Where is that thing? I found myself in situations where it just triggered. Nothing. I couldn't find it in my members. What happened? They raised me above it. The Lord will raise you above it. Yeah. As you caught thoughts pertaining to everlasting life. Now, I said, you know the way the Lord calibrates all. Not calibrates, the way the Lord identifies a spiritual man. We have been taught by religion, mainly, and also taught by superstition, that a spiritual man, for example, and this is not to knock what we are doing because we are praying, let's say amen. How many of us have found grace in this season? So much grace to fast. I didn't know it was going to be this easy. Honestly, Sunday night when I was starting, I was like, oh my God. My stomach started paining me before I left church. It was just paining me. So just I said, what is this? Paining me, probably about till 10 p.m. And also, of course, thoughts started coming. Oh, sir. You better be wise. Oh, sir. I was wrestling. I said, no. I just said, we need to obey our pastor. That's where I just stood. That's the only place I could stand. We need to obey authority. They said we should fast. We need to submit. And if you submission is not complete, you don't know where you are submitting until you don't agree. Even though I don't agree, I must submit. That's how I was able to go through that warfare and come out. Right now, I'm believing that this is how I live my life. I'm just believing. I'm not saying I will do it. I'm just believing. Because I'm okay. Stomach pain? No. So I'm saying that to say, I said that to say something. But are you blessed by that? Okay. So back to my original thought. So I'm saying, how you calibrate spirituality is based on what religion told you spiritual is. So you read your Bible, which is good. Mommy called them godly Christian habit. Say it with me.
Godly Christian.
One more time.
Godly.
I have been in that place where we stopped reading our Bible, stopped praying because we had revelation. I've been there. I caught that evil rev. We stopped praying. We stopped reading our Bible because we said that Jesus is a person. He's not a book. I won't leave there. I want to talk to the person. Stupidity. I'm just saying that godly Christian habits, we don't outgrow it. Let's say amen.
Amen.
But that's not what makes you spiritual. Well, no. Let me put it correctly. It can help you to be spiritual, but that's not how you identify a spiritual man. So some of us have believed that what makes me spiritual is that I have no faults. All my weaknesses have been dealt with. Now I'm spiritual. If they wait for all your weaknesses to be dealt with before they call you spiritual, all of us will go to hell. There is how God judges. That if you have that in your thinking, you just follow his plan. Do you know there's a plan for every weakness in you to be dealt with? Plus the ones you like. You know, there's some weaknesses we like. Our daddy explained that once. That I think one SOS. That Reverend Oyegoke explained. So when you see... Lord have mercy. So when you see... See, anger. Anger may never show up in somebody as anger. It may have an outward expression as meticulousness. Nobody repents of meticulousness. Who? Father, forgive me because I'm so meticulous. I can never... No, you won't. But that they look at that thing we are calling meticulous and they check it. Anger in you. How do you know? Because when you touch his meticulosity or what meticulousness... Or meticularity, man, is that thing? Touch it, you will see a volcano. Boom! Hey, that is the thing. Go, 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 go. Because God is perfect, but if you, his own perfection does not cause for eruption when you misjive. Do you see the difference? So those are places of repentance that we don't even yet know. So if they wait, if you think that how they judge your spirit is first of all, or you suppress all your faults, you are making a mistake. There is a laid out program for judging a spiritual man. It's in scriptures. And they will not change it for you. The first expression of your spirituality, I don't care how many weaknesses you have, is somebody say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
Say faith.
Faith.
If you are venturing on the path of faith, they say that's a spiritual man. Does he have faults? Yes. But you see, that path of faith is the answer to all the faults.
Yes, sir.
Of which... No religion and all its evil brothers and sisters will never allow you to exalt that faith as something. So they begin to fight it. They tell you, what are you doing? It's only faith. It's only this. You know, then this. You know, and we know why I say, when I say faith now, you know what I'm speaking about? Saying him is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. I'm talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which leads you from faith to faith. Because they know that that is the beginning of it. You know, God is not offended by your carnality. For God to be offended by your carnality is for me to be offended that my child is a baby. So I give it to a baby, I say, yeah. Just be wee-weeing and pooping everywhere. Roma will lay by. Get up, poo. That's our expression of, that's most of you, that's the impression that religion gave us of the Lord. That's what we have. God is not offended by your carnality. Who doesn't want, can I, why say, no, I say, yeah. Somebody hear that and say, oh, well, because human beings, your soul is bad. Talk about, free for all. Ah, that thought is not your own. You see, that thought is not the baby's thought. It's the evil program that latches on that carnal state to bring forth manifestations. Nobody's angry with babies now. Have you ever seen boys slap? You say, madman. How you be spitting out your food? Spitting out your food. Spitting out your food. 3 months old. But that's the impression we have of the Lord. Because we have not, in our thinking, we have not raised faith, life, as a measurement of spirituality. So we rather do many other things. So God, in a bid to make you spiritual, gives you a faith commandment. And you will not do it, but you go and pray. You will do that thing, but you will go and you will say, today I will finish the Bible. I will not get up. Somebody once said, I sat on my toilet and I finished Isaiah before I got out. You like that kind of thing? Hi! I said I will try it. I didn't pass chapter one. Baba was paying me. I said, this is not how to do it. I will not kill myself. You okay? Okay? On the toilet, Isaiah. Do you know how many books are Isaiah? One chapter, 20 verses, 25 verses, 40, 66. And none of, I think the shortest chapter is probably maybe 12. 25 verses. 30 verses. Abba, on the toilet. No. Thank God they didn't say that's how somebody will be spiritual. All of us would have got hemorrhoids by now. See, in this fasting period, the Lord wants to make you spiritual. He's going to be bringing to you faith commandments. So, that's what Pastor was talking about. Faith, there are many. Hey! They'll just be coming. And it's not horrible, but it's not even painful. The one kind thing about those commandments is that they don't come with the kind of force that we want them to come with. And I always say, why? Somebody asked me that question. the Lord was saying something. Something was saying, why was it not loud? I said, ah. So why was it? You should have been loud. I said, ah. I said, ask that question. Man, I don't lie you. I'm asking, why? Don't do it. Because we are used to, gentility is not with in our community. You know, that seeing God as a hard taskmaster is still something that's in all of us. That we need to, Jesus needed to see our Lord as that. Do you know Jesus was allowed to be a child? He was allowed to be. If he was not allowed to be a child, he could not be a complete savior. He had to go through everything. He pooped on his body. They cleaned it. See, the savior. Wait. You don't understand sin. You don't understand the program of salvation. That's why you are allowing religion to. No, not my Lord. Who told you he was a baby? He had to come there. He had to come there. Why? Because man was there. When he said the world was made flesh, people think that his manifestation when he was born. No, that was not his manifestation. That was his sneaking in under the wire. When he manifested, even everybody knew, somebody has come. Somebody has come. Jesus was allowed to be a child. The issue about being a child is that you must not stay there. And the unfortunate thing about spiritual things is that you can be a child for long. You know, for as a natural baby, you can't be a baby for long like that. Even something will be making you grow. Even just minimal requirement of food, a malnourished diet can make a child grow. He may not survive long, but he shall grow to some extent. But not so with spiritual things. You can be like that. Be like that for years. Because you are not ingesting that which will make you grow. So when they want to make you spiritual, they begin to bring you faith commandments. You know they did that with Jesus. The curriculum of Christ, which is the foundation of one upon which everlasting life will rest, is a curriculum for raising. It's for raising. They had to raise Jesus to the point where he could cut everlasting thoughts. But when he was born, I can tell you, he was not cutting everlasting thoughts when he was in his mother's. No, Jesus was this. No, that was God. The Bible says he put it off. He had to put it off because he had to come and identify with us in our state. Okay, somebody has said that no human being can walk through this earth. That was Satan's boast. Anybody that comes here is mine. And I will take him out. I will take him out. And Lord said, okay, I will come there. That's why, what gives him the effrontery to tempt Jesus? He was so sure. Devil does not do hit and miss. Sure you know. And he can't read your mind. He can put thoughts, but he can't read your mind. He doesn't know your state. So how does he know your state? By temptation. Do you know he was very sure that Jesus would fall? One of those three. He was too sure. So one of these things would take somebody of this stature down. I've done it before. I've been doing it for years. According to Pastor AK, 6,000 years experience in flooring saints. This one is a small boy. He wasn't doing it. He wasn't. They don't do trial and error. That's why he was so shocked when Jesus scaled all through. And that's how we are going to shock him. Yeah. We are supposed to be shocking him. Just be shocking him until he's completely electrocuted, completely. Jesus shock him. He shock us until he choke. And he went away for a season. He just went away for a season. He went to recalibrate. He said, nah, because they know they give up. Everlasting men know they give up. You know he's an everlasting guy. We don't give up. We'll do it. Until they had to kill him to stop him. They had to destroy you. Is it really? Daddy, thank God I'm not preaching a new message. Daddy said, God never created, let's say, the earth, and he just created the realm of angels, and Satan did what he did, and there was no place to push him out of. He said, do you ever think that in 10 million years, Satan would have been able to upset God? Never. But do you think he would have stopped? No. Everlasting energy. Let's try again. He'll keep saying, oh, Tito, get come up for here. I beg you, disturbing things. Leave. And see where he is. He's still saying, let's try again. Let's try. Auto run. Let's try again. Until the egg just says, let's try again. He's on auto run. Everlasting strength. So that's how you will break into some kind of thinking, eh? Demons will be telling you, say, just, you know, I just saw a picture. Sorry, forgive me. They're just throwing all manner of balls at you. He heard this one. He heard that one. In fact, you just become a total header. Those headings are thoughts. Those balls are thoughts. Head this one away. Head that one away. Head this one away. Head that one away. Head and you are just until they say, yes, this one has demonstrated, like Jesus, that you are wiser than all these spirits. Now I will seal you with eternal life. That's the end. But you see, they are not threatened by your babyhood. The issue is that you must grow. Think about it. A thought that just breathed into my consciousness recently. I probably shared it everywhere I've shared. Let me share it here again. Mommy, you are our mommy. You have two children. Mommy will testify. Mommy, is Joel 12 yet? 12, Joel. He's 12. Yes. Oh, praise God. Joel gets up. We have finished service like this. And mommy drives home. And she opens car, thinking that Joel was on the second car. Where's Joel? Let's dramatize it. Mommy traveled to Ondo and came back, thinking that Joel was in the second car. We came in convoy. Pastor Chiche was driving the second car. And he didn't have sense to check whether Joel was there. Because I was wondering, those that were in the company of Jesus, and they did not know that, because the mother in scripture says, in Luke 2, said, and she just assumed she was in the company. Was in the company. Maybe, okay, it's with auntie so and so. And auntie so said, she's with mommy. So I said, it's mommy. Mommy said, it's with me. And then we all left. And I came to Lagos. Have you ever looked for something? So tell you, begin to look for it in places you should not look for it. You open the tank. You open the bonnet. You open the bag of fruits. Where is my son? You need a mother to know. You need to be a mother to understand this thing. 3 days they were looking for Jesus. 3 days. Looking for your child. My father looked for me for 2 days. When I got home, the first thing he said, no, I was an adult. Then I went to school. Then there was no GSM, so you can't keep a chunk out. So I went to process my admission and came back. But I was like a day or two or three days late. My dad said, praise the Lord. First thing my dad said, praise the Lord. I've been to church every day to be praying for you. I was so touched, but then there was no GSM, nothing like that. So, you think, you know, religion will tell you, oh, Jesus was in the temple. He was a child. Let me tell you something. Because some of us have rated ourselves where we are not rated. Thinking that God's not expecting more from you than what he has put in you. You are the one that has very high thing for yourself. He knows you're a child. He understands. He just knows that, look, I have a plan. Look, if you follow my plan, you will be like Jesus. You will come to maturity. So here was our Lord Jesus. Did Jesus ever sin? No. Childishness for a child is not a sin. It's not a sin for my child to be a child. But he must not remain there. Let me show you something. Not me, they showed me. Let me show you what they showed me. Let's open that scripture so we're not just... Thank you very much. And when they found... Now, let's go to 40 first. 40. Luke 2:40. Somebody read with me. 1, 2, go. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. And did what? Again. And what? Pause. Who does... If me, I can be like this. Go back to that 40. As I am, I'm not 12. I'm not 12. I'm not 21. You put it anyway, I don't pass those 2 ages physically. Work strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Habba. Now see what he did with it. No, look, because some of us, you know, one thing the Lord made me appreciate, he said, if you don't appreciate the fact that I took Jesus from scratch, you will not believe you can finish this thing. And one of the sins around the thought of everlasting life is that it's not possible. That's one of the sins you must not think. So they have to wire you differently. It's possible. I've done it before. You are not the first. You are not the first. I have done it before in somebody. And I finished it. I will finish it in you. But it has to be a thinking. Satan will fight that thinking with you. He fights it with religion. He fights it with overambitiousness in the spirit. I say overambitiousness. I mean, you put yourself you want to interpret things like Pastor Tokwe. With the same kind of intensity. Whereas you don't have the journey. The most important thing we can do with our lives, brethren, is to join you. That's why we are here. Keep moving. Tell your neighbor, keep moving. Tell your neighbor, keep moving. Because that is how you will expire every... You see all those weaknesses that you see in you? They are calibrations. And yes, I know they fight tooth and nail not to go. But if you follow the leading of the Spirit, if you follow the leading of the Spirit, you will end up on the throne. They don't lead you to another place. Read on. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. 36. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Doing what? Sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Jesus was cutting with Christ's manifestations here. You know, that's why he was wowing them. Because in him was worked what they were. You know, the Spirit of Christ that wrote the Old Testament. The Bible talks about the Spirit of Christ was upon the prophets. So that Spirit was what they used to raise Jesus by 12. He understood it so well. So carrying Torah was like, well, this is speaking about things that my father has told me now. So he was just asking them questions, talking to them. Now, every child who has a little bit of understanding that makes people see him as special will be attracted. He will be a child. Will he not? It does all of us. You have one rev, one quarter to rev, and you're looking for platform. Where can I share it? I must share it. It has not happened to you. It will still happen to you. It's part of the growth process. Yeah. You must if Rev has not shocked you, you didn't catch Rev. I've heard Rev before. I was reading in my school. Something just jumped out of me with scripture. I left my Bible. Left, I was walking. I must have walked like 50 steps for a second. Kai! Of course. And then the next thing is, who can I share this thing with? It's allowed. I have a reservation about people who don't talk about what you are seeing. Talk it. No, we have to be careful. Talk it. Children, talk. That's why you always tell children, keep quiet. Because they talk. Somebody said, you first 2 years of your child, you teach them to walk and talk. And next 7 years, tell them, sit down, shut up. Childishness is not a sin. The evil in this is that they want you to stay there. And the father, there's no father that is impressed that after a while, that cuteness becomes a burden. You see? That's where Jesus surpassed us. In that, there was a tandem with his spiritual development and his physical development. So at 12, he was courting Christ. He was answering questions about Christ. They were talking about things, because things of the Torah, there were things pertaining to Christ. Verse 48. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And I was saying they were annoyed. 3 days, my child disappeared. I see. She, my mom said to him, why have you done this to us? Does that sound like praise? So was Jesus corrected by his parents? So you, your own rev, you cannot be corrected by your parents. You are not like Jesus. Selah. Teenager. So no. You know, the way teenager will read this. No teenager's mind. Freedom. I want to show you something, which the Lord showed me. He said, why hast thou dealt with us thus? Behold, thy father and have sought thee sorrowing. Go on. And he said to them, how is it ye have sought me? He said, we see not that I must be about my father's business. Verse 49, 50. And they understood not what he spake to them. I said earlier that the Lord is not expecting anything from you that he has not put in you. If he didn't put it, he's not expecting it. If it's there, he's not the one that put it. It's not everlasting. It's not his make. Your patience, if it's not a patience that worked by the Spirit, it can't stand everlasting torment. It will cave. So God will take out that one. People called me patient until I got married. I had testimonies that I was patient. I had testimonies. Somebody once told me, you are one of the most patient people I know. I got married. I am still not patient till now. That one was 419. That was not patience. It was not the patience that the Spirit of God works. I'm going somewhere. I said, God does not expect anything from you that he did not put in you. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? Let's read loud. He was what? He was what? He was what? Understand. Like, let's understand this. He was subject. In Israel, age 13 is the age of accountability. If you do anyhow at age 13, they will treat you the way they treat an adult. At age 13, you have, they separate what they call bar mitzvah. Bar mitzvah is the celebration of the child's adulthood. His freedom, as it were, so to speak, from the shackles of his parents, quote unquote. Not that they won't advise you, but you are now, your parent has become like a counselor. You can stand for your father at the gate at age 13. At age 12, instruction came to Jesus. Because Jesus would not have been subject. I'm saying that Jesus was led. Instruction came to him. Now, you're about to go to 13. Be subject to your parents. Now, imagine Jesus' life at 15, when everybody's free and still carrying water, quote unquote, on his head for his mother. Christ's life will lead you against the norm. Jesus went through it. Somebody didn't get that. At age 13, he was supposed to be an adult. At age 12, instruction came. He would never do that thing he did again. Why? Because they said, okay, now I have given you instruction. We live by instruction. You see, instruction is what's going to lead us out of our present state. Instruction in the thoughts of righteousness, even the thoughts of our last lives, are going to lead us to the point where we are completely free. And that is how Jesus was led. They didn't expect more from him than that until that instruction came. He said, be subject unto them. He was not subject. And he was subject until we don't know when. It doesn't record in scripture. But you just use your imagination to think. At 13 or 14, 15, maybe 17, men were getting betrothed. Because they used to get betrothed early then. And probably his mother told him, not yet. And he had instruction, be subject. Be subject. Be subject. Until he did that, until I don't know when. But we know by the time he went to the wilderness, he was free from that, subjection or whatever. The point is this. Your childishness or childlike state in the spirit is a conduit that you pass through. The evil about it is that you must not stay there. Now the orchestrations of darkness is that anywhere you are, stay. Anywhere. If you are a child, and that's where people that think that being born again is sowing into the spirit and have issues. You know, the Bible says if you sow into the spirit, you shall the spirit reap life everlasting. We think that getting born again is sowing into the spirit. No. To sow is labor. It's labor. And you need to be raised to be able to labor that labor. For us to conclude that our birth complete, everything about us is in the new birth, is a fallacy that has injured us for too long. We are supposed to grow. No parent is happy seeing a child perpetually in a state. 15 years and it's not more than this. Well, the one that we did the coma for, by age 3, 4, we'll be hiding that child. When visitors come, because when visitors will be calibrating your, by 4, you should be in primary school now. And then, where's the child? He's in the village. They're hiding the child because the child isn't making the commensurate growth. So as important as the childhood state is, as mommy said yesterday, I think the day before yesterday, God is not, it's not a sin to be a baby in Christ or canna. The issue is don't stay there. Because the arrangements, and this is it, the arrangements of Satan to keep you there. How do we come from level to level? By revelation, by understanding. So there's something that this child will learn and know, and he will no longer be said, you are behaving like a 2-year-old. Now you demonstrate a certain level of reasoning. Oh, you are behaving like a 5-year-old. Oh, a certain level of reasoning. You are behaving like a 20-year-old. Oh, a certain level of reasoning. I remember my boss once told me that. He said, if a young graduate behaves the way you are behaving, I worked like 5 years then. He said, he will not go far. He said, and if you behave the way I am behaving, you will not go far. I understand what you were saying. There was a colleague, because he was in his 50s or end of his career. So I said, there are expectations in every milestone of your growth. But all the expectations can be summed up in one word, growth. So let's say growth. Matthew chapter 16. Back to Matthew chapter 16. The whole essence of our everything we do is just to grow. Matthew 16. Hope we are being blessed much more. I'm reading from verse 17. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art what? Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church. I like that word build. Let's say build. Let's say again build. So build makes us understand that at one time it was not built. Let's say amen. So at one time it was foundation. Abi? At one time it was lintel. At one time it was roof. At one time it was painted. At one time it had fittings. At one time it was completed. But it didn't say, upon this rock, I will, one brother said, he didn't say, I will bring my church. Neither did he say, I will put my church. He said, I will build. Let's say build. There are so many synonyms for build in scripture. Grow, groom, there's build, there's raise. All of them speak of something that goes through a process. Say process. for us not to understand the issue of process is to be greatly limited in our pursuit of the fullness of the gospel. Everlasting life will not rest on a foundation that is not Christ. Christ does not come to one whose spirit has not been raised. There is a painstaking process of development. Why would we think that there's no process of development for spiritual things? Why? It can only be Satan that sows that thought. Because even him, he was once a snake, became a dragon. There was a process. He obeyed the commandments for turning, and he became that. So also, for us as believers, your whole life is calibrated in growth. So to pay attention to growth is the best thing you can do for yourself. And don't let anybody make you, this is where this all encompassing messages are very dangerous, where they conclude your life in one major happening. Nobody just happened. Nobody, even Jesus Christ did not just happen. He went through the process of growth and ended up on the throne. Why would we be different? Somebody said he has finished it. He finished it, yes. What he finished was that he charted the path. Before him, that path did not exist. There was no connection between God. We think God is small. When you hear God, that word God is already a veil. It's already a veil. To understand, when I say God, it's already a veil. We need to thank God for Jesus. If not for Jesus, God would have remained in the realm of spiritual invisibility forever. Nobody would see him. It took Jesus to bring him to the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily. That was how Jesus came. Jesus brought him to manifestation. That's why we have a chance to see anything that pertains to him. If not for that. But he did that by walking a process. He went through a process of development to the point that they call him the apostle and the high priest of our profession. He laid the path. Now it's open for people to walk. But you still need to walk. When I'm born again, I have everlasting life. You don't know what life is. For some, the only definition of life is one that breathes in is flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. That's the only definition of life you have. That is one of the lowest. There are lives that don't need flesh and blood. Somebody's looking at me as if there's something strange. Are angels alive? Yeah. I said, are angels alive? Somebody's not sure. No, angels are spirit. Is God alive? Okay, you can agree with that one. Then why we think life in its rawest form is eternal life. That is God. God is life personified. That is what life is. Every other kind of life came from him. As they joined away from him, they dropped in life level. So, I think it was Daddy was explaining it yesterday. So, cherubs are more alive than seraphs. Seraphs are more alive than principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. They are more alive than man. Man is more alive than animals. Animals are more alive than plants. Plants are more alive than stones. Some will argue that stones are not alive. Well, stones hear his voice. So there may be a kind of life. The only people that are not alive is from demons down. Those ones, there's no life. It's death and death in its calibrations. So life, there are expressions of life that do not need flesh and blood, do not need blood to survive. God does not use blood to survive. What is blood? He used flesh and blood to explain something to us because of our level of reasoning. I also don't believe that word eternal life is just a way of trying to explain something that cannot be explained because it's God's life. So for you to conclude that you have God's life the day your spirit was raised is a little bit of a lack of understanding because you are not honoring the place of process. Nothing just happens. Is that just happening thing that made us think that the word, not us, I know we don't think it, Bwah! And then the word came to be. What kind of, that is very low IQ in the spirit. That is idiocy. I'm sorry to say. That's the verb, the noun for the word idiot. Idiocy in the spirit. So try it now. Take pangolo, milk tin, take plastic, put them together, put banga inside, buah, and blow it, and see whether a car will come out of it. So why would you think that buah, and then the world came to be? It was somebody crafted it. It was crafted. So also, you look at the human body. Bwah! And he just said, amoeba, divided into two. And he became this. And then divided into four. Before you know, he became a monkey. For a monkey, now stood up. Now I say, man, not me. It is not now that Satan has been fighting this issue of inheriting everlasting life. He has been fighting with all kinds of learning. Because learnings that we have gone to school and paid money to learn have told us that things just happen. Nothing just happens. Your spiritual development will not just happen. It won't. You have to pay attention to things pertaining to growth. And that's where messages that do not allow you to see that the church is a building. You know, if it's a building, it has a foundation. Who lives in foundation? You built your house now. You say, ah, praise the Lord, everybody come. Oh, I've built my house, I will come. I always see his foundation. So where's the house? I've built it. This is it. It's funny to you. But when we say Christ is not the complete building, you get angry. The Bible clearly says that no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid. And that foundation is what? Christ Jesus. He said it there. It's not me that said it, it's Bible. So if you go, if you will not live in foundation, you won't live in the foundation. Are you a rat? You will not live in your foundation. You will wait until the building. Why do you think that Jesus' own will be different or God's own will be different? He said, I will build my church. Is he going to stop at foundation? It has a foundation. Very, very important. We cannot, of course, if the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? That's what we tell you. You need, you see, Christ is unnegotiable. See, anybody that's playing, you see, people that play with the doctrine of Christ are the people that will be calling everlasting life heresy. And it's a scripture. Shall I show you in scripture? Shall I show you? So that if there's any evil spirit telling you that they are stretching things, you know that's an evil spirit. And it's because your foundation is not very well laid. So go on, do things to lay your foundation. Learn Christ well. You know, I was just wondering, Pastor Thompson has been saying for like almost a year, do charity. You notice, charity. But I said, what? Why is Baba just shouting charity? Charity is the cap of Christ. Faith, hope, charity. When you are doing charity, you are the full stature, as it were, of Christ for something else to rest. Everlasting life will not rest on a foundation that's not properly laid. I said I wanted to show you something, right? Let's open to 2 John. If you don't do the doctrine of Christ well, when they are talking everlasting life, you will say it's heresy. You will say it. It's the Bible. Let's see. 2 John, verse 8 and 9. He says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. What are things that were wrought? It is Christ that was wrought. Here, who, verse 9, that we may receive full reward. Full reward is the capping. He says, whoso transgresseth and abideth not in what? The doctrine of Christ hath not what? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both what? Hath both what? Let's open to John chapter 13. John 13. One of the prayers I pray for myself is that, Lord, when you are talking, may I never say you are not the one talking. May I never come to the place I'm so dull that my father is talking, I'll be saying it's the devil. I pray that enough for myself. It can happen to anybody, as Pastor Cecil Paul said. It can happen to anybody. If you don't pay attention to Christ being properly raised, your pastor talks, you shall say on Christ. He knows what he's saying. Because God will not even be confident to put upon a faulty foundation the weight of the everlasting life building. John 16, Jesus talking. John chapter 16 from verse 1. Says these things, are we there? John 16 from verse 1. Says these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be what? Let's say that should not be what? So there's tendency for offense in the preaching of everlasting life. Why? Because they're expiring man. You see, when you're still thinking like man, things of God will offend you. God will have to be politically correct around you. Not say some things. But you know, it's not like that with Jesus. He speaks freely. Knowing that Jesus will never misinterpret, Jesus fully understands. That is what you want to get to. That's why they said, come, let us reason together. Inability to reason at God's level is a coming short. And we know what made all of us come short. What made us come short? For all have what? Sinned and fallen short. You are just short. When you say you are coming short of something, you can't reach it. It's higher than you. So what sin? That sin reduced men. So that when even God is speaking, they will say, this must be devil. This must be devil. It cannot be. All sorts of things. Let's read on. Verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth what? God's service. Verse 3, where I'm going. And these things they will do unto you because what? They have not what? Compare that to what we just read in 2 John chapter 2. It said, if you don't have the doctrine, if you have the doctrine of Christ, you have both the what? The Father and the Son. So what the doctrine of Christ will bring to you is an awareness of that arrangement that will make sure that once the Father is speaking, you know it's the Father. No matter what it is. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to go to the cross? Forget about the pain. There was a spiritual arrangement that was not palatable. But he knew it was his Father's voice. It's my Father's voice. This thing is not easy, but it's my Father's voice. And that's why they say you should do charity well. Because charity will teach you to do that thing. You know, charity leads you against yourself. You have two meats. They say, give the two meats to your friend. Don't eat meat today. No. They are training you. You are going to cut some thoughts that will expire your humanity. Start with the meat. If meat is troubling you, is it cross you will go? Jesus Christ had enough legal ground in the spirit not to go to the cross. Do you know that? He had enough legal ground. He had enough legal ground. We say legal. We don't have legal ground. We just have complaint and rebellion. He had legal ground. But he just knew that this is my Father's voice. Why? Because Christ was a complete stature in him. And he was looking for the next level, which was the fullness of the promise. And they saw a thought that was going to expire him. You know, Jesus Christ's whole life is a story. And as he was painted before him was a Herculean task of separation, even for what he knew as life, or all the advantages, and not just advantages, all the arrangements that he had basically worked for 33 and a half years was going to be expired on the cross. Yeah. But he said, this is my Father's voice. He didn't say it was the devil. Some of you know, some of you have been asked to do something. You bound God. Drop your entire salary this month. In the name of Jesus, I bind that evil spirit. An evil spirit. Evil. The thought of everlasting life is the end of man. But Christ is the man that can end. That expected end is the fullness of Christ. That can now come to that end where, okay, yes, let's just die the death. Who has that happened to? Some people say, well, let's just die the death. Yes, good, just die the death and be resurrected. Why did he qualify for resurrection? He had died. He had come into non-existence. Back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. So one reason why we don't play with Christ's foundation, they are left.
Even in tandem with the light that I am shining over you, even as a people. Run, even staying, even under the shade, even under the glory, even under the atmosphere that I am bringing even over you as a people. Yay! I say keep tab. Do not be comfortable even with where you are, for you see darkness is coming. Even great darkness is coming. Even darkness that will confuse many in the world, and that will also confuse even many in the churches, that men will not be able to believe even the veracity of things that are of God, even things that are in the scriptures. I say you should grow according to that which I am measuring out to you as a people, even to you individually. Grow, because darkness is going to catch up even with this generation. For Satan is bound even to swallow this generation. But I say in the midst of this generation,
nation. I want to raise a people, even a people who are saved even to the uttermost. A people who cannot be moved. A people who understand my judgment and know things that are my counsel and cannot be taken away even from those counsel. A people who have used my light until it has become stark nature, even from nature within them. You are part of that generation that I want to raise. Therefore I say, run, 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 run in light. Follow my light and let my light make you even a spiritual person, even a spiritual person and an everlasting person, even a person that cannot turn, that cannot be confused, a person that will believe truth and hold on to truth in the face of the lie that is coming. A great lie is coming. A great lie is coming. A great deception is coming upon all men. It's coming upon the earth. But I want to save a people. I want to save you.
Jiba jibania tijabu juba jibania tajaba jibi jibi jabaja jabu jebe jabi jibi jaba jabaja jiba je biji jaba jabaja jesu 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 jesu. For you see, say the spirit, Satan is raising certain men, is raising men who have stature to fight the church. He's raising men who have stature to fight ministers. He's raising men who would have mouth, even mouth to speak things that would seek even to discredit even scriptures and to discredit even churches. For he's done it, yea, to a good degree in developed worlds. And he wants to raise it even here in your nation, even here in your nation. He's stirring men. He's raising men. He's raising men. Even men whose mouth will shut down ministers. But you see, I am also raising men. I am raising pillars. I'm raising pillars. I'm raising statues. Everlasting statues. Everlasting statues. I am raising trees. Even trees. Even trees. Even trees that will cast shade against the evil sun, against the evil moon, against the evil stars that Satan is raising. I want to raise you. I want to make you. I want to cause you even to come into formations of assurance, even to come into formations of salvation, formations of salvation. Some would fall away. Some would fall away. Some would fall away. For there be many who would say, this Christianity thing ain't working. This Christianity thing is a sham. This Christianity thing is a deception. Even many, many, many in the church. Even many, many, many in the church. Even in the church. But I would raise a standard, see of the Spirit. I would raise a standard that would serve even as a shield. Even as a shield. Even as a shield. Even to much, much, much more. Even to much, much, much more. Even to much, much, much more. For the everlasting man that I am raising will be ensigns. Will be ensigns. And will be, strength and shield that will bring even much more. Even into the church. I say, raise to grow. 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 Dark days are coming, but yet also glorious days are here. Dark days are coming, but yet also everlasting light days are here. 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 I'm showing you mercy, see the Lord. I'm showing you mercy. Even bringing
things that would form you. Even bringing things that would seal you. Yeah, I want to seal you. Yeah, I want to seal you. Yeah, I want to seal you. Before art will begin to touch souls of many in the earth and in the churches, I want to seal you. I want to seal you. I want to raise, raise, run, 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 run into shield. Run into salvation. Run into salvation. Run into salvation. Run into the name of the everlasting God.
Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for that word. We receive it. We receive it and receive grace to align. We receive grace to align in the name of Jesus. Virtually all that I probably wanted to say was been said in prophecy. Verse 18, which I'll just end with that now. Verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16. It said, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. As the prophecy said, hell is unleashing. And it is according to a curriculum or a schedule in the spirit that hell needs to be unleashed. But Jesus preempted the advent of hell by the raising of the church. That means the church needs to be built. Now, you know, it's not a perpetual building process. It must be built. It's not an abandoned project. They must complete the building for the gate of hell not to prevail. If it's not complete, hell will be able to tell it. Now, that's building. I'm just saying this now so we can all pay attention to individual raising. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, is made up of stones. Let's say amen. Each of those stones, I'm just going to say it. Each of those stones is a crafting in the hand of the master. The spirit crafts, turns grass to stone. You know, there's a natural process for turning grass to stone. Lithification and diagenesis to turn grass, to turn organic matter into stone. And it will turn into stone. And then heat and pressure will make it metamorphic, a stone. So you can turn grass to stone, theoretically, in science. So they are taking grass, your flesh, into stone, turning you to stone. Now, each of those stones is a complete building in that God also inhabits each stone. If he doesn't inhabit the stone, he cannot use that stone to build his house. You know, he's building his house. Sure, you know he's building his house. Mommy said that when she went back, talk about Jerusalem coming down, of which there are people. There are people. It's people. When you think city, no west. When you think city, don't think Shomolu, don't think Ketu, think people in according to Bible. There are people that they put together to form a house for the Lord to come. And it's human, it's people, souls that they will use, put together. But each of those souls needs to be calibrated to be a house of God in a measure. Now, it is those ones that they will use to build the house of living God, which can offer up spiritual sacrifices unto the Lord. Let's say amen. When they say fight to make your calling and election sure, is to make sure you have a space in that building. That building will be complete with or without me. That is the thing. The building will be complete. God is not a respecter of persons. He cannot be held to ransom. He wanted 12 disciples. One fell. They put another one there. So, your bishopric, another will take. They're not playing. Because when it comes to Christ matters, they are looking for a building. Because that building is the answer to every question that was asked since the fall of man. Questions have been asked. Spirits are mocking. The answer is the raising of the church for the Lord to come down and inhabit. Let's say amen. So we do not play with growth, right? Because gates of hell are coming, as we've heard. They will come. Because they must come. They are like the final examiner. The Bible says wind will blow. It said a wise man built his house upon a rock. That when wind must blow, it must blow. Those that survive the wind are those that are built. May we be built. May we pay attention to building. Now, finally, to assure our place in the house is to take all the provisions that the Lord has left for us in the seasons of his declarations. Let's say amen. He's speaking everlasting life now. Why? Because those are the materials for our next raising. You cannot build your house to lintel level and then say, no, I will not use materials again. I will do anything like that. You cannot. If you won't do that, God will not do that. So he's providing the materials for the next level of the church. Now, the Lord, Daddy Oikoke said this, the Lord will call out some people. He does that sometimes. If Joseph was too offended at, you know, Joseph was sent to Egypt to save Israel. You know, Joseph was sent to Egypt to save Israel. You know, Joseph was sent to Egypt by Israel's children for to save Israel. You know, there's an orchestration of sending Joseph into exile. He was maligned, he was beaten, he was sold, virtually practically killed, as it were, for the saving of Israel. The Lord will send consensus, and it might seem as if some people are attacking. I'm saying this to say, hold on to what you know.
Hold on to what you know. Nobody, how we journeyed here is a show of great mercy of the Lord. That it will be, I know the Lord won't hold it against us if we don't have sight, we don't have understanding, but hold on to what you know. It is responsible for your preservation in these times. It is responsible for your preservation. When I say preservation, it's not even that you die physically. It's that God will be talking to you, be calling him devil. God forbid. That is one of my greatest prayers. I said, that must never happen to me. Papa Egan said, one of the signs of spiritual maturity, a mature Christian, is always ability to recognize his father at work. So if God is moving, and you are, because you don't understand, you say it's not God. You've not been built. You've not been built. May we be built. May we be raised to the point, you know, there's a vision in the mind of the Father, as we started with. He said he has a thought that is thinking to us word. It's a thought of peace, not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. And that expected end is responsible for the way the Holy Ghost has led us, even in doctrine, even in discipline, even leadings and dealings, to bring us to this point where we can begin to court everlasting thoughts. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. As we have started beautifully by the mercy of God, we will end it well in the name of Jesus. Can we rest to our feet? Just have one prayer. Just one prayer. I know we are still in the fasting mode, but I can think we can still pray. Just pray one prayer. One prayer for yourself. I know that in this fasting period, as Pastor Tekwa mentioned while he was leading prayers, which is so true, there are individual entrances we are coming to. I know there's a corporate dealing over the house, but there are individual entrances. Now, those individual entrances are responsible for your individual raising to be part of the house. Those individual entrances, individual instructions are instructions of faith for to make you spiritual enough to be part of that spiritual house that will offer spiritual sacrifice. I'd like us to pray. May my ears be open to these individual instructions. There are individual instructions coming in this fasting period, though, that will make this full fasting period a holistic one. We don't want to fulfill all righteousness. No, I need to take all the provisions of heaven in this present arrangement. So can we pray? Ask that the Lord will lead you. One thing we pray in my house every day is, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Every day there is a leading in this day of fasting that I need to accomplish. Can we ask that as we continue this fast today, tomorrow, that daily there will be leadings, and those leadings are going to lead to a crafting, because they are leadings of faith for to make of you a spiritual man, yeah, even a divine man, that will end up with the fullness of everlasting life. Can we pray that the Spirit of God will lead us daily in this fast? It will be precept upon precept. That word precept is commandment. Commandment upon commandment, dimension upon dimension. The Lord will lead us, that not one of us will fall lower than the standard of life that the Lord has painted for us, even as an assembly, in the name of Jesus.
Help us. Only you can help us. We call upon you, O God. Help us, O God. Help us, O God. Strengthen, O God. Strengthen us, O God. Send resources. Let there be open heavens. Send resources for our growth, O God. Help us, O God, even in this hour of temptation. We look up to you. You will help us. Oh, you will help us. Eketene. Belele kusteve. Ikeketele kimata. Ey, babole. Ebele hust. Etiketi kamot. Etiketi kemot. Etiketi kemot, iketeketekemot, eleketekurikemot, ibeleketokotirikemot, imbeleketokotikiriki, mento, eketuna, oh, we thank you. You will help us. You will help us. In the name of Jesus. Still want us to pray that God we guide our thoughts. Proverbs 4:23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to pray. I want us to pray. You see, if there is a time we need to fear, it is now. Fear must come to us. This is a time to reverence God. This is a time to fear. You just can't, you know, take every thought. Watch, he said, keep your heart with all diligence. Means that we have to deliberately know what we fellowship with. Because your conversation will define you. If you are not fellowshipping with thoughts of God, that is very easy place that the enemy will get you. When God is instructing us through his servants that we should meditate on nothing but the word, he knows better than us. Let's not ignore that instruction. It's not until heaven opens before you know that God is talking with you. There are some certain, you know, things you are fellowshipping with. There are some thoughts. There are some, it might come in movie, it might come, you know, I don't know, whatever. But I just have it in my heart about thoughts. What you engage yourself with, what you hear all the time. I was scolding my boy. It was a WhatsApp, you know, status that he glanced through it. You know, unconsciously, that song, he will move out of the house. He will come in. Unconsciously, he was just singing it. I said, just this thing you just watch. Just now, I'm taking hold of you. So if we can be deliberate like that with scripture, like Pastor was saying, even if you don't know anyone, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, just begin to meditate upon it. In safety, instead of, you know, fellowshipping with things that will not edify you. And we should be, you know, prompt in obeying the Holy Spirit. There are some places that you want to go, or there are some, you know, app or whatever you want to click, and the Holy Spirit will tell you, I don't know about you. Don't go there. Don't go there. Sometimes out of, you know, zeal, or I don't know, just open it. And when you open the app, you will see the reason why God says, don't go, don't open it. That is how we obey instruction. That is how instruction comes. Don't open it. Don't listen to that song. Don't read that book. Don't just watch. Don't say, I just want to see. They say, don't see. Don't see it. Can we pray for strength this time around, that God will help us to guide our hearts? Let's pray. Our thoughts. Kamili kamot. Kamili kamot. Kamili kamot. Kamili kamot. Kamili kamot. Eketeli katot. Eketeli katot. Eketeli katot. Eketeli katot. Menkele ketot. Menkele ketot. Mikeli katot. Ekeli katot. Kabosht. You will make us wise. Oh, you will make us wise. Lord, we'll be quick to obey you. Make us quick, quick, quick in obeying instruction. Help our hearts. Help our hearts. Help our hearts. Help our hearts. Even at this time. Oh, Meketelika. 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 We'll be wiser than the wicked one. We'll be wiser than Satan. We will be wise. We will be wise. We will be wise. Strength. Strength to obey instruction. To obey every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Give us strength to resist the wicked one. Give us strength. Give us strength. Strengthen us, O God, to guide our hearts. Olekete. 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 Olio. You say, ask and it shall be given. Lord, we are asking you. On our own, we can do nothing. Lord, we need strength. Strengthen us. Strengthen us as a people. Strengthen us as a church. Strengthen us as individual. Lord, we are looking up to you. We know, we know, we know you will hear us. Hear us, O God. Deliver us, O God. Deliver us, O God. In you lies our strength. Lord, you are our anchor. We call upon you. We call upon you. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. Help us to be diligent in guiding what we hear. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you. You will help us. You will help us. Thank you. Thank you. We thank you. Lord, even as we go this week, even as we embark on this praying and fasting, Lord, your grace will be made available. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We will not struggle. It shall be gracious. It will be gracious. We will come up. We will grow. We will be built up. We will be built up. We will change estates. We will change estates. In the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you. This is the confidence we have. That when we call upon you, you hear at us. You are Father. You answer prayers. You never leave us alone. You are with us. That is, oh God, our anchor. Thank you. Thank you. We give you all the praise and all the honor, for we know you are with us. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated for